So tonight we're very pleased to present an esteemed speaker, Abraham to my left, and he will be speaking about the fourth mindfulness training this evening. So as with our tradition in mindfulness, we always practice to listen mindfully with a clear and open mind and heart, and we hope you enjoy the presentation.
I'll start off by reading the fourth mindfulness training. Loving speech and deep listening. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I am committed to cultivating loving speech and compassionate listening in order to relieve suffering and to promote reconciliation and peace in myself and among other people, ethnic and religious groups, and nations. Knowing that words can create happiness or suffering, I am committed to speaking truthfully using words that inspire confidence, joy, and hope. When anger is manifesting in me, I am determined not to speak. I will practice mindful breathing and walking in order to recognize and to look deeply into my anger. I know that the roots of anger can be found in my wrong perceptions and lack of understanding of the suffering in myself and in the other person. I will speak and listen in a way that can help myself and the other person to transform suffering and see the way out of difficult situations. I am determined not to spread news that I do not know to be certain, and not to utter words that can cause division or discord. I will practice right diligence to nourish my capacity for understanding, love, joy, and inclusiveness, and gradually transform anger, violence, and fear that lie deep in my consciousness. Yeah, I really, really love the fourth mindfulness training. To me, it feels like compassion in action. It feels like such a practical thing that we can do in our lives to relieve suffering and to make life more wonderful for ourselves and for others. Communication, which is, it's very regular, every day is something we engage with, and I appreciate that impact that it can just have directly on our lives, and this mindfulness training and communication training in general has influenced my life in a lot of ways, which is why I feel a lot of passion for this topic. My background in communication, what I'll speak of a little bit, is mostly around nonviolent communication by Marshall Rosenberg. Nonviolent communication can be thought of as needs-based communication or compassionate communication are two lenses of looking at it. So in the lens of need-based communication, it kind of takes the lens in communication and says that most of the reason why we're communicating is making a request of somebody, asking for something. It's not necessarily asking for action, but in communication, it could be asking to be seen or asking just for basic connection, asking for feedback or asking for action. But need-based communication, that lens kind of says most of communication is about working together with community and with others to meet the needs that are alive within ourselves. And then kind of similarly, the lens of compassionate communication is similar, where feeling compassion for someone is like feeling their needs and recognizing that we all share the same needs. So when someone is communicating or we're communicating with someone, taking that lens of compassion is kind of like holding a lens of shared humanity, shared human needs in a way. And I find that taking that lens in communication has really, helped me. I want to share a quote by Brené Brown. I've been listening to one of her books, Atlas of the Heart, which goes into different emotions and speaks about them in a really meaningful way. And how Brené Brown defines compassion is a daily practice of recognizing and accepting our shared humanity so that we treat ourselves and others with loving kindness and we take action in the face of suffering. That daily practice of recognizing and accepting our shared humanity. I feel like communication and compassion just kind of go hand in hand so much, and recognizing our shared humanity really feels like the key piece for me. If I had to sum up communication in general, it would be seeing the shared humanity. So that's kind of like at a high level what I'm thinking of communication. So I want to actually speak a little bit about nonviolent communication and the framework and some of the things that have helped me specifically in both speaking and in listening. So nonviolent communication has kind of four main steps, and I'll speak a little more deeply about the middle two steps, but just for a brief overview, the four steps are observation, so observing what's happening in the moment within your own body, within your own self, or if you're listening, within the other person's body. Next is, through that observation, that clear seeing, is observing the feeling, the feelings that are happening within your own body, within another person's expression. And I'll speak a lot more about feeling. The third step, once you've kind of seen clearly and noticed the feeling, is noticing the need that is being expressed. So in the framework of compassionate communication, feelings are sort of messengers that indicate what need that we have as a human being, messengers for that need. And the needs are what we all share, the same core human needs. And then finally, once we've identified what the need might be, there's making the request, asking someone, would you be willing to do this for me? Or identifying, could I do this for you? Because I see this need that you may be communicating. And the thing is, I feel like most of the time, and and in most cases, communication isn't done this way. We kind of have to take a lens of what is this person really feeling and what does this person really need? Because so often in this observation piece, we're not able to see clearly. We react to our own emotions and we don't know what we need. We're feeling something and we express something, but we don't know what we need, or somebody is expressing something and it makes us react in a certain way so that we're not able to really see what they're feeling, what they're needing. And so that observation piece without judging, without reacting is really a crucial starting point. And I don't want to speak too much about that because I think there's a lot of trainings about observing without judgment. I think that's a large part of the practice of what we do is practicing observing without judging. And it's very, very difficult, at least for me. But that crucial first point. I'll speak a little more about the feeling piece now. So feelings are the messengers for the need. But often the mind kind of can get in the way of feelings, at least for me. Feelings take an intentionality to access. They're crucial in understanding what you want to communicate, and yet, it takes intentionality and practice to cultivate an understanding and awareness of emotions. And there's a few practical ways I want to just share of how I've cultivated an understanding of emotions within my own body. There's this thing called the emotion wheel. Has anybody heard of the emotion wheel or the wheel of emotions? Well, some people. It's kind of like this wheel that starts, so in the center are kind of like core emotions. There's like 6, 8, however many core emotions. And then outside, so there's 3 tiers. There's that inner circle, the mid circle, and the outer circle. And as you advance out from the inner tier and you move out, so say I've chosen happiness in the inner tier, I move out and it gives me a layer deeper of the granularity of like, what are the different emotions associated with happiness? Like, could be joy, could be ecstasy, could be peace, whatever it might be. And then there's a third layer that gives even more emotional granularity. And that emotion wheel has really been a beautiful thing for me. A few specific exercises I've worked with that is randomly maybe throwing a dice or pointing to an emotion and feeling that emotion, embodying that emotion, and noticing what it feels like in my own body. I feel like the reason, or one of the reasons maybe, to put it that way, for doing that is to lower the threshold of awareness for that emotion. So say there's an emotion that I'm not so familiar with. It could pass through my body and I wouldn't be able to identify it. I would respond to it. I wouldn't recognize that I'm feeling this emotion because I need this certain thing and I want to communicate that I need this thing. But if I don't see the emotion, I can't do that. And so working with the emotion wheel allows me to feel that emotion in my body, so that when it comes, I say, oh yeah, that's this emotion, right? Lowering that threshold of awareness. And that practice, I really love that practice. And you can do it with a partner as well. Have a partner embody an emotion and you try and see, what is that emotion you're feeling? What is it? And to to learn how to pick up on the emotion of another person as well, because that emotion is an indicator of what that person might need, what they're feeling. So yeah, the emotion wheel, and then I guess I mentioned reading Atlas of the Heart. That's also a good one, and a lot of resources reading about emotions and just acknowledging them as messengers for needs. And then moving on to needs, I feel like every time I've spoken about needs, I feel a little like uncomfortable still, because the idea of like having needs, I don't know, it kind of feels like I'm not allowed to have needs, or like that feels like the story, you're not allowed to have needs. Like, is the purpose of communication really like trying to get your needs met? But it's like, I feel like that's where the key is of the shared humanity, is that we all share these human needs and they're totally okay, you know? It's a part of being human, is having these needs. And there's also maybe a fear of rejection. If I have these needs, I'll be looked at a different way. I feel like, yeah, with needs and emotions, they're not default training that we receive to be in touch, to acknowledge them. And I think we need to take that training within ourselves, practice that. And so there's a similar practice with needs as with emotions. One thing I've worked with a lot is like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if anyone is familiar. It's like a triangle, and at the base of what our human needs are, we have physiological needs of sleep, food, air, these kind of things. And then you move up to safety and security, and then above that, love and belonging. Love and belonging is absolutely a need that we all share, right? And one that communication, clear communication of that need can help you receive that, and also to see that need in other people and to be able to offer them that gift of love and belonging. And then to finish Maslow's hierarchy, there's self-esteem, or esteem is second from the top, and then self-actualization is at the top of that pyramid. And so I think that similar practice of reflecting on those needs and what does it feel like in my body when I need that, can allow me to recognize when maybe I need connection, or I need touch, or I need someone to just listen, or whatever it might be, recognizing those needs within myself so that I can communicate, hey, would you be willing to connect with me right now? Because like on the flip side, if I don't recognize that need, if I don't see that emotional messenger as saying, hey, I need this connection, either I express that emotion in a way that maybe is hurtful, in a way that's totally confusing or unclear, or I just suppress that need, and when I don't know my needs and I don't know how to meet them, well, it feels like stuck, you know? Powerlessness, hopelessness almost. Marshall Rosenberg with NBC says that not being able to acknowledge and recognize the needs and be able to meet those needs is a cause of depression, because if you don't know what to do, how can you get there, kind of thing. And that resonates for me. Yeah, that's the needs piece. And then just quickly on the request piece, is connecting the request to the need is like offering an opportunity for someone to express compassion. When someone comes up to you and says, I'm feeling this and I need this. Would you be willing to do this for me? Like, I don't know. My heart opens when I hear that, you know? Yeah. It's a gift that we can offer others by meeting, by seeing what they need, and also a gift we can offer others by allowing them to meet our needs, by acknowledging them and maybe opening a path for them to see that need in their own life and be able to ask for it as well. Because again, we all share these same common human needs. So this is kind of the framework, is like observing what's happening without judging, identifying the emotions and seeing the message that the emotions are flowing, the message being, I have this human need, and then being willing to share that human need with another human being and asking them if there's something that they can do to meet that need. And it can happen when I'm communicating to another person, and it can also happen in somebody's not using this framework, but they're communicating, and you can pick up on that same four-step process of, I'm observing their body language, I'm observing their feelings. I think they might need this, I'm not sure, but I can ask, is this what you're needing? And is there something I can do to help meet that need? And so, yeah, I feel like this loving speech and deep listening, this framework kind of applies to both. And I guess another layer is loving speech and deep listening to ourselves as well, right? Observing what we need, observing what we're feeling, speaking to ourselves with compassion, wanting to make our life more wonderful as well as others' lives more wonderful. And then just one other layer that I want to put on this is a temporal aspect of, like, this framework is beautiful in the present, but also I've found beauty in applying it to the past. So in reflection, facilitating the process of reflection internally, understanding, wow, maybe I really didn't communicate well there. I got caught up in the emotion or whatever. What was it I was feeling and what was it I was needing in that moment, you know? And recognizing my pattern and realizing when I need this, I do this behavior and it definitely doesn't work and it might cause harm in the world, right? So it's a beautiful process in reflection. And then maybe the one that's had the most impact for me is using it in the past, reflecting on ways other people have communicated to me, ways other people have acted towards me, whatever it might be, and realizing that their behavior was based on them needing to meet a human need and doing so quite ineffectively, but seeing the human being in them, seeing that they had this need and they didn't know how to meet this need. And yeah, I guess it just allows me to see the human in those cases. And for me, it's facilitated the process of forgiveness, of understanding that it's just a human meeting a need. They didn't know how to communicate this. And yeah, it just, that goes back to the beginning, just like how impactful communication can be in working together with someone else, and how harmful communication can be when you're not in touch with what you need and you're expressing out of reactivity or whatever it might be. Yeah, I want to just wrap up with a quick quote from Pema Chodron, since we're working with her teachings a bit. in one of her books, The Places That Scare You. Compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It is a relationship between equals. Compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity. Yeah, compassion becomes real when we recognize our shared humanity. Yeah, we're all in this together. How can we, see what we need, see what others need, see beyond the noise, and just make life more wonderful for each other.
Thank you, Abraham.